Okay, we're going to begin here with the Mishnah on the top of Lamed Hamed Aleph. Mishnah begins, Maseh B'Zachar Shel Rechilim. It's an interesting formulation. Instead of saying a keves, they say that it's a male ewe, Zekin. It was old, Usaro Meduldal. And its hair, its wool had grown extremely long. Ru'u Kazdor Echad. And one Roman official sees this animal and is wondering, this old animal is just sitting around, nobody's shearing, nobody's taking care of it. What's the story with this animal? What's going on with this animal? Said that it's a bechor, and it doesn't get shechted unless it has a mum in it. Natal pigum, he took his dagger, or Rashi says spear, v'tziremos no, and he cut the ear of the bechor. The chachamim received the shaila, is this a good enough mum to shecht on it? V'tiru. And they were matirid. Charji tiru halach v'tzirim oznei bechorot acherim. He wanted to breed goodwill amongst people. He saw that he did something beneficial. So he went ahead and he started going to all these bechorim that were around and making a mum in their ears. Ve'asru. And then the chachamim said it was asur. Pam achat, another story, ayu tinokot misachakim besadeh, playing out in the field, v'kashru zanvei t'laim. They tied the tails of the sheep together, and then the tail ripped off one of them. And happened to be a chor as well. And they were made it, said it's fine, that's a mum, you can shecht on that mum. They saw that it was beneficial. Then they went ahead and they tied up a whole bunch more tails, and see if they could provide the same benefit in other situations. Vasaru. In that case, they said it was asur. Zaklau. Koshu ledato. Asur. If it's done intentionally, then it's asur. Shalo ledato. If it's done unintentionally, then it's mutar. So the situation over here is where the Roman official in the first case, the children in the second case, in the first instance, they didn't know what the outcome of the situation was. For the Roman official, he didn't know that if he did this, it would help out. And the children didn't know that they were going to have the tails come and one of them would be severed. So because of that, they were mutar in the first instance. But once they got the information back that the chamim were matir based on that mum, then when they did it, it's clear they did it intentionally knowing the outcome of the situation. So over there we say it's a sur. So now the Gemara says, b'macher taya, tzricha, why do we need the two cases? Why do we need the case of the Roman official and the case of the children? Diashminan ovi kuchavim delo ati lemisrach. By the Ovi Kochavim, we don't have to worry about, in the future, he might come to violate other Yisurim. Rashi says an interesting comment here. He says, the Sirche de Ovi Kochavim lo ichpatan. The Ovi Kochavim sinning is not our issue, Sharei Nahug hu bi Yisura. Because that's something he is tuned to, something that regularly occurs for him. And therefore, we don't feel any necessity or responsibility to be mafrishim from the Yisur. Therefore, if he's going to sin in the future, we're not going to worry about it. Aval katan, dadu lemisrach, but a katan, that this may cause issues in the future, we wouldn't be matirit. Katan mishum begadol. Over there, there's no chance that we'd get mixed up with a gadol. There we might get mixed up with a person of age. Then emalo, maybe not. Tzricho, therefore we gave both cases. Amrav chista marav, katina, lo shanu. The phrase that's used in the Mishnah is that the government official asked them what was happening. And then they say back to him, it's Einu Nishkat, Ela Im Kein Haya Bo Mum, unless it does have a mum, which is a passive statement. It's not an active statement in which it has to have a mum placed in it. Rather, a passive statement, a mum must happen to it. So that passive statement is implying that it has to happen of natural causes. Aval Im Amarle, Im Nase Bo Mum, if a mum is done to it, then, command amrle zil avid be muma. It's as if you said directly to him, zil avid be muma dummy. It's as if you said, go and put a mum into it. Amarova michte. I don't understand. Mehelahu. Both of these are passive verbs. Mali haya, mali nase. Haya and nase are both passive verbs. They're not asking for an active, they're not active verbs where it's saying, or a command saying to go and put the mum in it. They both say the same thing. The mission that we have it is beinu nishkat elim kein haya bo mum, unless it had a mum in it. And then here it says, elim nase bo mum, if there was a mum done to it. Neither of these is an active verb where you're giving them any instruction or any indication of what the need is or who has to place the mum in here. Both of them are passive, and the sense is that it had to happen to the animal. Who has to do it? How it happens to the animal? There's no information given. And therefore, Rava says, I don't see any difference between them. The Memela also has the same status as Haya And it's memela. It's as if it happened by itself, or somehow a mum came about, because it's the passive verb, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. You can say that, and you're not considered to be directing him in any way. So then the end of the Mishnah has the phrase, Zeklau koshul ledat asur, letuye mai. Where does that come to include? Letuye grama. To include the case of grama, which you saw yesterday, right before the Mishnah. The case of grama is where he puts the batseik, he puts the dvela on the ear of the bechor, in order that it gets a mum in it. So that's the part. Kol ledat, ledato means not only actively you're doing it, but something that you do, that you plan. Well, you didn't put the mum in there, but you did something that would cause the mum, and therefore that's where it comes to include that grama is also problematic over here. I think they would consider that to be more active. The only way out of this is for one of the tails to be released. I mean, the only way for the two animals to separate, they're not going to stay together the rest of their lives. I mean, I think more directed, rather than the dvela and the batzik, we need another party, another action to come about here from the outside. Shelo ledat. What's shelo ledat? If he does it unintentionally, it's fine. Letuye mesiach lefi tumo. What happens if he's having a conversation with his neighbor? And he says, listen, man, this animal's been around forever. I can't believe it. If we just got a moment, I'd be able to eat it already. And then this Roman official overhears him and then goes and does it. So if there, that'd be fine. You weren't telling this Roman official. I think you weren't even trying to converse with him. He happened to overhear the conversation and then he took action. So that's again not a mir lakum. That's something where unintentional consequences, if you're speaking to your friend, is that a mum was placed into this bechor. So that would be okay as well. All right, next Mishnah. Hayah bechor ridafum. He has a bechor that's chasing him around. It's a ayo. It's looking to gore him. Ba'ato. So what does he do? He fights back. He kicks him. Vasabo mum. And when he kicked him, he made a mum. Arizei shochatim alav. That, you have no problem. You can shech the animal based on that mum. So Amar Rabbah lo shanosha ba'ato b'shat redifa. That's only true if he kicked him while he's being chased. Aval achar redifa. If after the situation calmed down, then he kicks him. Lo. Shita. Mar says, of course not. He said, ma'u detema. Tzarehu demidkar. Is it Tzarei Dumidkar? He's remembering what this, he's angry at him, he gives him a kick because he's angry about what happened. Kamash Balon, that we say no, that at this point already he's trying to make a mum in it, intentional mum in it. Ika Damri, which seems to make the more sense here, the second Lashon, Amar Papa Lo Tema Bishad Ridifa, in Avalash Lo Shurat Ridifa Lo, that only when he's being chased is it okay. About when he's not being chased, no. Elafilu Lachar Ridifa Nami, even after the chase is calmed, and the situation has calmed down, you still, if he kicks him, it's unintentional. I mean, he's not trying to create a mum. He's angry at the animal. He's angry at the animal, so he kicks it. But that's not because he wants to make a mum in it. It's all about the situation and he's hot-headed still, so he kicks the animal. That, we can still shecht on it, because he's not intending, he just wants to hurt the animal. He wants to tell him, listen, don't chase after me. So that's not an intentional mum. That's just part of the heat of the moment. Amir Yehuda, mutar la'atzil mum bebechor, kodem sheitzei la'avir olam. So Rav Yehuda's statement is very important, which is that you're allowed to place a mum into a bechor before it's born. Because the kedushat bechor only comes with the yitziat rechem, and therefore if you place the mum inside the womb of the mother, you're not in violation of placing a mum into something that is kadosh. But it'll also benefit in the sense that when the animal is born, it'll already have a mum in it, and that will prevent us having to wait for the mum, that'll prevent us from having problems of takala. It's a great solution to the problem. And obviously this is much more applicable and necessary when there is no mikdash. I mean, you could do it when there is a mikdash. When there is a mikdash, then there would be a lot of reason to have the animal born as a tam, so it can be placed on the mizbeach. But here, the end game for this animal anyway is going to have to wait to get it a mum, then why not preempt it and place the mum in while it's in the womb? Now, the Gemara seems to favor this as the proper way to deal with a bechor, and not having a shutafut with a Oved Kochavim. That's the alternative. The alternative is to have a shutafut with an Oved Kochavim or a Kohen, and that would be Poter the Bechor. But over here, they prefer the solution. Tosfot back on Gimel Amud Bet asks the question, if the Gemara prefers the solution of Rav Yehuda and not this idea of making shutafut with a Kohen or with Oved Kochavim, why do we do that today? That's exactly what we do today. We do not place a mum in the womb while it's in the womb. We do these shutafut to provide it. So Tosfot come afkele mikdushatayu. Ma sheni zarim achshav. Avu pishenei nash Rav Mari. Rav Mari was punished for doing that on Dav Gimel Amud Bet. So it says, the reason that Rav Mari was punished over here for making a shutafut and not placing a mum in it is because he should have done like Rav Yehuda. Inami, So for us, they were bekiyim and had to make a mum. We're not bekiyim in this. So therefore for them, there was a demand that they do it like Rabbi Yehuda and not do a shutafut. For us, we don't know about mumim. We don't only bekiyim in mumim anymore. We know what is a mum over, mum, kavua, what's good enough, what's not good enough. So we're better off making the shutafut in order to avoid the situation. And he says, Anan, delo bekiyim havi kelo efshar. That we who are not bekiyim, it's as if delo efshar. It's impossible for us to do it any other way. Below Efshar, you're allowed to do a shutafut. But if Efshar, you have to do like Rav Yehuda does. He says, classifies that today, we have a din like below Efshar, because we don't know how to make mumim, aren't bekiyim or experts in mumim. That's back in the Tosfot, back on Gimel Amud Bet. So Amar Rava, Gadya Be'udnei. When you do this, the Gdi, you should do, the goat, you should do in its ear. Imra Bisifutei, or Siftei. You should do the sheep, the lamb, with its lip. Because the Gdi has big ears. So therefore, when it's being born, the ears will exit the mother's womb before the Rov HaRosh. Before the Rov of the Rosh has exited, therefore you can make it in the ear without having a problem of it being born already. Whereas, by the sheep who have small ears, if when they are born and you get to the ear already, there's a likelihood that the Rov of the Rosh has already exited by the time you get to the ear. Therefore, we tell you to do it in the lips, because that will be before it exits. Igadamre, Imranami Be'udne, say that Imra also, you can do it in its ear, because Imor derech tzav nafak. We have to assume, Imor here doesn't mean maybe, but yes, this is the way it is. Derech tzav, it came out through its sides, its temples. It doesn't come out necessarily with the head first, so we don't see the ears to the point where they rove the heads out by the time you get to the ears. It could come out with its temples first, with the part of the head, where you could see the ears before the rove of the head exits. And therefore, it might be okay also to put a mum in the ear of a sheep. Trying to give you advice about how to do this and ensure that there wasn't the rove of the head was out. I mean, if there's a birth already, then you're be'isur. You're matil mum in a bechor already, that's kadosh. That's problematic. So we want to make sure, how do we know, do it in an area where you'll be sure that the rove of the rosh isn't out yet. So by the goat, which have floppy ears, then they can do it early on, because you can get to the ear before the rove of the rosh exits. On the other hand, by the lamb, where the ear is very small, it's a small ear, you won't necessarily get to the ear before the rove of the rosh is out, so they're giving advice. Do it by the lip, so you don't run into the problem. It's good advice. Amar Rava, achal below mechze, in a case here where an animal eats, and you cannot see the mum, poi, on the other hand, when it bleats, umechze, then you can see it, havi mumot, that is a mum. Maika mashmalon, what's he telling us? If you can see the mum when it bleats, and it makes noise, it's talking, versus a case where it eats, so that's considered a mum, even though normally you wouldn't see it, but in this occasion where it opens up wide, you can't see it, that's considered a mum. That's a Mishnah coming up on Daf Lamed Tevman Aleph. Achutim achitzonot shenifgimu v'shenigmimu. So in a case where you have either Rashi says it's the gums, Rabbeinu Gershom says it's the teeth, the incisors. These are the front teeth, the incisors, so Rashi says it's the front gum. Shenif gimu or shenig mimu. Nif gimu means they're broken. Shenig mimu means that they were leveled off, they were shaven down. Hapnimiyot shenakru. Here we're talking about the molars, not the incisors, but the molars. Or, according to Rashi, the inner gums. They have to be totally out. Then they are considered to be mumim. My taima. What's the reason? Lav mishum techipoy mechse. Why are these mumim? The only way you're going to see these items is if they open up their mouth nice and wide. Otherwise, if they're just stop eating, you're not going to see the molars that are removed or where the molars that are taken out. The only way to see the molars is when they're making a lot of noise and they're bleeding and they open up their mouth wide, then you can see it. If that's the case, we have a Mishnah that tells us that when it's visible, when they bleat, that's enough. Amar Rav Papa, Rava Nami, Taimi Tamadnita and Mefarish. Rava is explaining the reason in that Mishnah. My Taimo, Nekru Avimuma. Why is Nekar when the molars are removed or the gums in the back are removed? Shum Dechipai Mechse. What's the reason that those are serene? Because they're visible when he bleats, and that's the reason. So Rav has explained to us the reason of that Mishnah. It's not that he's saying a statement of fact, and we have a Mishnah that says the same thing. He is explaining that Mishnah. Our next Mishnah. Kol mumim aroim lavo bidei adam, roi Israel ne'amanim. Any mum that could have been done by a human being, then shepherds that are Israelim are ne'aman. The Gemara will discuss what this means. Roim kohanim, on the other hand, if they are kohanim shepherds, eino ne'amanim. There they are not believed. The opposite would be something that's congenital. You have something congenital, it obviously becomes out with five legs. Obviously, if he has an extra ear, that's not something that a human being can do. That's something that's congenital. And obviously, that mum wasn't placed there no matter who you are. You can't have to be choshed on it. But the clear distinction here in the Mishnah is that Israel is believed with the Gabei Bechor. The Kohanim are Chashudim, the Gabei Bechor. Why the Kohanim Chashudim, the Gabei Bechor? Because they are the ones who took the owners, the Baalim, and the only way they can get benefit from it is to get some mum in it. So we have suspicions that they're going to have to upkeep this animal and keep it around till it gets a mum. It's not worth it to them. They don't want to expend the money. So we're Choshesh, there's a Chashad that they will place a mum in. For Israel, Israel doesn't have a lot invested in this. He's going to give it to the Kohen after a small period of time. Why it doesn't pay for him to put the mum in it. It's not in his best interest. It's going to the Kohanim anyway. So therefore, we believe Israel. We don't believe the Kohanim. Shugumal says that a Kohen is not believed about his own animals, but he's believed about another Kohen's animals. Rabbi Meir Omer, Achashud, Aladavar, Lo Danov, Lo Meido. Someone suspected about an item, he cannot testify it. That means not for himself, not for anyone else. And obviously he cannot be done. He cannot sit on a beit din in this situation because he's chashud la davar. Rabbi Yochanan ve Elazar. We have a machlokas here of Amoraim, how to explain this Mishnah. Chadama ro'ei Yisrael be'kohanim ne'amanim. That the ro'ei Yisrael that are mentioned in our Mishnah means literally. They are his shepherds that are Yisraelim, even if they're in the house of the Kohen. Meaning that it doesn't matter what they're watching. They're watching another Yisrael's animals, or even if they're watching a Kohanim's animals, there we don't suspect them. But legima lo chashinan, we don't worry about kickbacks. Legima literally means food or meal. We don't worry about the fact that the Kohen's going to offer him, if he testifies on behalf of the Kohen, that the mum came by itself, even though it was placed there intentionally. We don't suspect that they have some sort of kickback scheme with them, that if he testifies on behalf of the Kohen, then the Kohen will offer him a portion of the meal, a portion of this bechor to eat. So we don't worry about that kickback scheme. We say that a Roi Yisrael, he has that nemanut, he doesn't have that chashad, and therefore we don't worry about him. Roi Kohanim, on the other hand, when you're talking about shepherds that are Kohanim, even Bei Yisrael, even if they're watching the animals of Israel, ein ne'amanim. They are not believed. Mei ma'amar, kevin de katarach nabei. The shepherd says, listen, I'm working for this guy. He's got to give his bechor to some Kohen. Why wouldn't he give it to me? I'm the closest Kohen. I work for him already. Of course he's going to give it. Lo shabik lididi v'ayv l'achrina. There's no way he's giving it to someone else. And therefore he's willing to testify on behalf of the Israel because he thinks he is the beneficiary. V'adin kohen l'kohen d'chashin and the gomlim. And then certainly when it's one kohen ro'eh for another kohen, there he's not going to get it. He's not going to get the animal over here because the original owner of kohen is going to keep it. So why would he testify? There, chashin and the gomlim. We worry about collusion. Worry about the fact that is you scratch my back this time, I'll scratch your back next time. I'll testify for you this time, then he'll testify for me in another instance. So there we worry about collusion. So we don't worry about the kickback scheme with the Roei Yisrael. We do worry about collusion when it comes to Roei Kohen. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Meimar, and then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel comes to say, Neman hu al shel chaveiro, v'neman al shel atzmo. He's believed about his friend's animal. I mean, the Kohen will be believed about another Kohen. V'neman al shel atzmo, but he's not believed on his own. Meaning that we don't worry about this issue of collusion. You scratch my back, I scratch your back, we don't worry about that. V'ata Rabbi Meir, the Meimar, ha-chashud al-davar, lo dano v'lo meido. Be a chashud on this, we don't believe you. You can't testify, you can't be done, Kohen is never believed. V'chad amar. So that's one way to read the Mishnah. The Mishnah being, ro'ei Yisrael, ro'ei Kohanim, literally. Shepherds that are Israelim, shepherds that are Kohanim, irrespective of whose animals they are watching. That's the first way to read the Mishnah. The next way to read the Mishnah is Chadamar Ro'ei Yisrael Vein Kohanim. It's a Ro'eh Kohen with animals of Israel. These are Israel's animals, but the Ro'eh, the shepherd is a Kohen. Nemanim, that shepherd is believed. Meimar Amar, he's going to say, Lo Shavik Tzurba Mivarabonu and Avi Dilidei. There's no way that this Baalim, these Israelim, are going to give me this Bechor. You know why? I'm an Amaretz, as Rashi says. Stam Ro'ez an Amaretz. So there is no way that he's going to give it to me before he gives it to a Talmud Chocham, a Chover that is a Kohen. So I don't expect to get it. So since I don't expect to get it, I have no reason to testify on his behalf or to lie in this case. So based on that, as long as the animals belong to Israel, we don't care who the shepherd is, whether it's Israel shepherd, of course, but even if it's a Kohen shepherd that is doing it, we don't worry about him being involved in the case, thinking that he's going to get some kickback, he's going to have some collusion here. We don't worry about that whatsoever. On the other hand, Roei Kohanim v'ein Israel. Roei Kohanim means the Roim are Israelim. The shepherds are Israelim. The animals are owned by the Kohanim. Ein Emanim. They're not believed. So they did not believe because it's the Kohen's animal, the Chasina, the Legima. The first thing we worry about are these kickback schemes. Because we're worried about the fact that the Kohen, if it's his animals, and the shepherd who's Israel testifies on his behalf, he'll get a kickback. He'll be able to have a part of the meal. The Kohen can't Kohen the Kohen, and then certainly a Kohen for another Kohen, the law that they're not them, the Chasina, the Gomlim, the Chasina, the Legima. There we worry about both. We worry about collusion. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. And Chasina, the Legima, we worry about the kickback scheme. So there, we're definitely worried about it. So the two ways to explain the Mishnah are, and the Gemara is going to continue in a second with this way, one is that when it says Ro'ei Yisrael, Ro'ei Kohanim, means literally shepherds that are Israelim, shepherds that are Kohanim. The second way we're learning it is Ro'ei Yisrael means shepherds, shepherding the animals of Israel. Ro'ei Kohanim means shepherds that are shepherding the animals of a Kohen. So that's the other way to read the Mishnah. He's believed about others' animals. I mean, the Kohen is believed about others, but not about himself. Meir comes along and says, no, there's no belief in him. So now, we understand the second way we explain the Mishnah. The Ro'ei Israel means that we have shepherds that are watching Israel's animals. They happen to be Kohanim. They're Ne'aman. Hainu da'ata Rabbi Meir the Meimar. So then we understand the difference between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakama. A chashud al davar lo danav lo meido. That a person who's chashud on this doesn't testify whatsoever. So Rabbi Meir would not only be disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that a Kohen can testify for someone else, not himself. Rabbi Meir says a Kohen's not believed. So of course he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but he also disagrees with the Tanakama. The Tanakama says if the shepherds are Kohanim, but they're shepherding the animals of Israel, they are believed. Rabbi Meir says, they're not believed. A Kohen is never believed. So now I understand the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Meir, and the difference between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Meir. So that would explain the difference between them. But, Elo Lamando Amar, the one who says, Aroi Kohanim Ve'Israel, that when we say the Ro'im, in our Mishnah means literally, these are Kohanim Ro'im, Einemanim, they're not believed, Mayata Rabbi Meir Lashminon, Ano Tanakama. What's the difference between Rabbi Meir and the Tanakama? We have the Tanakama saying, Kohanim are not believed. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said they're not believed by their own animals, but they're believed by others. And then Rabbi Meir comes and says, Kohanim are not believed. It's the same thing as the Tanakama. When it says, Ika ben Ayud, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusai. The difference between them is this Breita, where you meet Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusai, because there he says, the Tanya, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kapusai Omer, Bechor ben Kohen, if you're Bechor, then how's the Kohen? Tzarich Shnaim min Ashuk lahayid alav. You know, two people from the outside, independent parties, to testify about the Mum and how it came about on this animal. Shimon Gamliel, afilu bno, afilu bito. Shimon Gamliel says, even someone in the family, as long as it's not the Kohen himself. This is a Bechor Eitzel Kohen. Rabbi Shimon ben Kapusai says that you can have two outsiders testify to it. It doesn't matter who these outsiders are. Shimon Gamliel says, even his own family can testify. As long as it's not the owner himself, Balim themselves, their children can testify about it. B'yosi Omer, afilu asrav, ein b'nei beito, ein medin alav. I don't care how many people are on the inside here, they cannot testify. We need someone from the outside. Now Rabbi Yossi believes that you have to have one person only from the outside, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Kupusai says that you need two people from the outside to come and testify. Now here, we don't worry about, there's no distinction drawn between Kohanim and Yisraelim. So here, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kupusai says, a Kohen, two Kohanim from the outside can come and testify about this animal. Shugam Amliel says, even his own children can testify about it. Rabbi Yossi says, inside people can't testify, but on the outside, as long as we have one person, Erechad is Ne'eman B'Yisraelim, and therefore even an outsider can come, as long as he's an Ed Echad, that's enough. So what Rabbi Yeshua ben Kupusai says is that if I have outsiders come and testify, I don't care if they're Kohanim, I don't care if they are Israelim, they're believed because they're outsiders, they're from the Shuk. So therefore we believe them. The Tanakhama says the same thing. And you have Ro'im Kohanim, the Kohanim are shepherds, we say we don't believe them. And the Rabbi Meir says Kohanim are not believed. So what's the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Meir? The difference is that Tanakhama only mentions Ro'im Kohanim. Because they are insiders, because they're Ro'im Kohanim, that's why they're not believed. But that means outsiders would be believed.
Why wouldn't they?
Because they're no Geaba Davar. They're insiders. They're going to get a kickback from the owner. That's what we're worried about. We're worried about the Gimon. So they're testified to get the kickback. Therefore, we don't believe them, but we do believe outsiders from the Shuk can come and testify because they have no, there's no relationship there. There's no pre-existing relationship to assume there'll be a kickback. Let's go to the Shuk and say, you two come and testify to me and I'll give you a meal. That seems less likely. If there's a Roya that works for him, and you know, he can do this in an underhanded way. He'll just say, listen, you know what, why don't you eat with me tonight? How about we'll have this Bechor for dinner tonight? And then he takes him to court, and he says, come on, can you testify that this Mum was there? So there he has an incentive to testify on behalf of the Balim. So therefore, that's the difference, and he'll hold it from Yoshua ben Kapusai. But Meir says, Kohenim are out. Out, 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 period. You can never believe a Kohen, even if they're outsiders. According to whom does this statement of Amoraim follow? Safek Bechor, Shenolad Bo Be Israel. If a Safek Bechor that's found in the house of Israel, you need two outsiders to testify on his behalf. Come on, Rabbi Shua ben Kapusai. It sounds like Rabbi Shua ben Kapusai that we don't believe the owner, meaning we don't believe if it is a Kohen, because a Kohen who's the owner, we won't believe him. And we also do not believe Israel who's the owner. Here by the Safek Bechor, it's going to remain with Israel. He becomes the owner. So we don't believe him. We need outsiders to come and testify. Two outsiders to come and testify. So that must be that it's holding like Rabbi Shua ben Kapusai that we need outsiders to come and testify. Nachman Amar, Balim Eidim Alav. You don't need outsiders over here. I disagree. You can have the Balim can testify on it. Dilo Tema Ochi. If you don't believe this, Maser the Rabbi Meir may Meid Alav. If that's the case, if Balim are not Nemanim, according to Rabbi Meir, how can you have anybody testify about Maser? Who are the owners of the Maser? Israelim. If you say, according to Rabbi Meir, someone who's Choshud on a Dabar is not Neman, who's going to come testify about the Maser here? Maser can be owned by a Kohen, it can be owned by Israel, it can be owned by a Levi. So that means none of them are believed. If none of them are believed, they can't testify about it. You have nobody left to testify about this animal. Because no one is believed about Maser, because everybody can be an owner. So Gemara says, Maser Badi Mamet. Even according to Rabbi Meir, everybody agrees that Maser, the owner, is believed. Because he's amigo. If you wanted to do it in a mutter way, come put a mum and all the animals before they went tachad hashevet, before he was minkadish them for Maser, and then it would be totally mutar, and he could have been poter himself from the problem. So if we don't not trust him afterwards that he says that there's a mum here, because he could have taken care of the whole situation up front. Again, I say this is a different type of amigo. It's a looser amigo. Usually the amigo is that at this moment he has the choice of making two choices. That's not the case. When we're faced with the choice about whether it's a mum or not, he lost that option already to put the mum in it. Why is this? Because he had that original option to put the mum in it beforehand and he didn't do it, we don't assume he's going to lie afterwards. So therefore, everyone is believed by Maser. Ela Safek Bechor the Rabbi Meir, mi meid alav. The question's like this. Safek Bechor goes to the house of the Israel. Motzi mechaber olav araya. Safek Bechor stays with Israel, he waits for a moment. Who's gonna testify for Rabbi Meir? If you say Kohanim are not believed by Bechorim, because we know that, Kohanim are Chashudim. If you say now that the Balim Israelim are also not Ne'amanim, when it comes to Safek Bechor, who's left to testify now? Kohanim can't testify, Israelim can't testify. So what do you want to suggest now? In Hachanami. According to Rabbi Meir, there is no one to testify about a Safek Bechor, and therefore the Safek Bechor will remain forever in that state. It'll never be able to be eaten. Is that really true? But it's not. We had a mission earlier in a Masechta. In the case where there were twin Zicharim that were born, you have to give one of the Zicharim to the Kohen, and you keep one for yourself as a Safek Bechor. Over there, Rabbi Yossi says, Patur min amatanot. Patur from Zerua l'chai min kebab, because we assume it's as if you gave it to the Kohen and he returned it to you. It's as if you gave both animals to the Kohen and he returned them to you. Since there's that swap there and you're patur from giving the matanot. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir says, Ba'ala mishnei tzadim. The Kohen can say to me, either this is a Bechor and it's mine, or this is Chulin and you owe me the Zerua l'chaim kebab, and he says, Shechayav. Well, why would Rabbi Meir be Mechayav you and Zerua l'chaim kebab if you can't eat the animal? If the animal is not edible, it's not ever going to get to the point where someone can testify about the mom, why would you give Zerua l'chaim kebab? Must be that he believes you could have a Safek Bechor be eaten. If he believes that Safek Bechor be eaten, that means that someone could testify about it. Who could testify about it? Certainly not the Kohanim, according to Rabbi Meir. Must be the Israel. Well, if Israel could testify, that means that the Balim have to be Ne'aman. The Balim are not Ne'aman, then you can't testify. That's Rabbi Meir's Shita. If the Balim are not Ne'aman, then he's not Ne'aman anywhere. That means Israel would never be Ne'aman. Because of that, it must be that the Balim are Ne'aman. El Shema Mina. From there you conclude, Balim Meidim Alav. You conclude from here, Balim can testify about Maaser. Balim can testify about a Safek Bechor, because they are Ne'amanim. Israelim are Ne'amanim. We only worry about Kohanim, because they're Chashud al-Mumim. But Israel is not kosher amum for a number of reasons. First of all, Israel doesn't interact with Bechorim so much. It's not a big deal for him. He has one Bechor that ends up there. He has to wait for a mum. It's not a big deal for him. Kohanim interact with Bechorim all the time. It's their food. It's basically their meals. This is how they get their meals. So therefore, they're chashud to put a mum in it. Second of all, for Israel to keep around one animal is not a big deal. Kohen could end up keeping around a whole bunch of Bechorim, and it'll be costly to him. So therefore, he's chashud. Israel is not chashud. Itmar, Rav Nachman Amar, Halachik Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Amar Halachik Rav Yosi. So Rav Nachman says the halachas like Rav Shimon Gamliel in that brayta that we brought down before, that his family is allowed to testify. Not the Kohen himself, but his family is allowed to testify. Rovo says the halachas like Rav Yosi, that family is never believed. Outsiders believed. Erechan is Neman from the outside, but family is never believed. Now Amar explains, to me Amar Rav Ahachi, can Rav really say this? Amar Rav Balim Omdimi Manu Bachutz. The Balim are standing outside with us. Nichnas Shalem, before goes into the house, comes out with a mum in it. Meidim alav. They are meid on it. So what do you mean meidim alav? Who's going to be meid here? Who's in the house? The owner, the kohen, is standing outside with us. Who's left in the house? Left in the house is the family. So here we see that the family can testify about the bechor, because they're the only ones who are in the house, and they're believed. So that sounds like a proof to Rav Nachman, that the family is believed. So when it says, no, ema kol abalim omdim bechutz, that all the balim are outside. Velo chayshinan. And we don't worry about it. We're not choshesh. Now the question is, who's outside and who we're not being choshesh about? The whole family is outside. The owner plus all of his kids, his whole family is outside with him. The bechor goes inside and then walks out with a mum in it. Now we say, lo chayshinan. We don't worry about who put the mum in it. What do you mean we don't worry? Who could have put the mum in it? So Rashi brings two interpretations. One is, we're not choshesh that the ro'eh, the shepherd that's left inside the house, he put it in there. He made a mum in it. That we're not choshesh for. That's one way to read it. The other way to read it is, we're not worried that they were premeditated. They set up traps in the house. They dug a hole in the house so that when the animal went back in, it would fall and get a mum. We're not choshesh for that. If the balim are outside with that, we're not choshesh that they planned this whole thing out to have the bechor go in and get a mum in it. So that we're not choshesh for. So that's how to read it, and then it will not be a stira to Rava. It's halacha. Halacha's like Rabbi Yosef. The family's not believed. Here the family's believed because they're not there. They're not inside. They're not the ones testifying. So that's why everybody's believed here, because there's nothing to be choshesh for. Kamash v'lon. The hilchata ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The halacha is, the Gemara now paskins, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that the family is believed. B'davka b'no b'to. That's only true by his children. Aval ishto, his wife, is not believed. My taima, ishto kegufo dame. His wife is kegufo, is like his, the same as him. They are considered to be two sides of the same coin. They're considered to be partners, twins. They are two bodies acting as one. And therefore, his wife is not believed, because we believe she would carry out whatever he wants, and she's not believed as if it's him. But his children are believed, because they're considered to be separate entities over here. And so therefore, the aloha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here is l'shitato. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah says that you're neman al chavero, not neman al shalo. You're not believed about your own, you're believed about someone else's. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Braita basically says that his children are considered to be someone else, and therefore they're nemanim. His wife is considered to be himself, therefore she's not neman. His children are considered to be others, and therefore they are nemanim. His father, anybody else in the family can testify because they are considered to be chavero. And that's the way we paskin here, that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, the Rabbi Meir, according to Meir, Damar Choshud Odavar, Lo Dano Velo Meido. Meir says that if you're choshud on any avera, then you can't testify about that avera. You can't be a judge for it. Become a Rabbi Meir. We also had another memra from Rabbi Meir earlier in the Masech, the back on Daf Lamed, but chashud the davar achad, chashud the chol haTorah kula. Someone is chashud on one item, is chashud the chol haTorah. Kohanim, hachanami delo daini dino? Wait a minute, that means a kohen can never be a dayan. Kohanim are chashudim to be matil mumin b'chor, therefore they're chashud ala b'chor. Someone is chashud al davar achad, chashud the chol haTorah kula. Now he can't testify about anything. Kohanim are precluded from being judges. Bakti, the pasuk says, v'alpiyem yekori v'chol naga. Pasuk specifically says that they are the judges, they are the adjudicators. So how could that be if they're chashud? So what's the difference? Imar dami Rabbi Meir lo chashasha. Lachzukinu mi amar. Rabbi Meir says that we have a chashash. We suspect kohanim. But we don't call them chashudim ala davar. There's a big difference. You could suspect someone and therefore we don't believe them. Kohanim are not trusted about the bechor because we suspect that they might do something. But we don't have evidence that this person is not Naaman. We don't have evidence that they actually put a mum here. If we have evidence that they did something wrong, then they'll lose their Naamanut for Kol HaTorah Kula. Over here, what we are is suspicious, but they haven't lost their ne'emanut yet. They are believed, just not in this item, because here we have high suspicion that they might do something wrong. But until we prove that, until we have evidence to that fact, they are still ne'emanim, and they'll be ne'eman everywhere else in the Torah, just not over here. And so that's how we solve the problem, the difference between chashash and chashud. Chashash is that we suspect that something might happen. Chashud means that we know for certain this person is problematic with this item. If it's problematic, then he's chashud al kol Torah kula. But over here we're only dealing with chashash, and therefore kohanim can be dayanim in areas outside of the issues of Bichur. Alright, we'll stop over here.